Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kiwi and BP.
Hello.
Hi.
Today we're going to be playing Architects of the West Kingdom, designed by Shem Phillips of Paladins of the West Kingdom, Raiders of the North Sea, Viscounts of the West Kingdom, Explorers of the North Sea, and S.J. McDonald of the same games. The artist is Mihalo Dmitrievski of the same games. It's published in 2018 by Garfield Games in New Zealand. That's exciting. And Renegade Game Studio in the U.S. Yeah, I'll let you explain sort of the series, I guess, that they're doing.
Yeah, so Garfield Games does like a bunch of, they do like these trilogies of games. So like, the Raiders of the North Sea was the first in like a series of like Scandinavian Viking-esque ones where they use different game mechanics, but they sort of set them in the same universe almost. So in this one, Architects of the West Kingdom was the original. Mm-hmm. And then they did Paladins of the West Kingdom a year later. And then I think last year they did Viscounts of the West Kingdom.
They like directionality also, too. West, yeah, north.
Yeah, and I think there's the trilogy. I don't remember. They're going to do another trilogy, and it's going to be set in like the east, I think. So yes, directionality is kind of their thing.
And they're all kind of different, right? Because like one will be like more Euro-y, one will be more like competitive, take that-y.
Yeah. So like Raiders of the North Sea, that's the one that we have. It's definitely like a big worker placement game. Explorers of the North Sea is more of like a pick up and deliver almost. So they do different things. And then I don't know if they did it for West Kingdom, but for the North Sea series, they have like a little add-on where you can create like almost a campaign game where you play through each of the games, and it has different things. Like, you know, if you get this many points or something, like you get these bonuses as you go into the next game. And then if you win that game, you like get bonuses going into the third game. So they set it up to be like a little campaign, like series of games.
All right. The description is: Architects of the West Kingdom is set at the end of the Carolingian Empire, circa 850 AD. As royal architects, players compete to impress their king and maintain their nobility status by constructing various landmarks throughout the newly appointed domain. Players will need to collect raw materials, hire apprentices, and keep a watchful eye on their workforce. These are treacherous times. Rival architects will stop at nothing to slow your progress. Will you remain virtuous or be found in the company of thieves and black marketeers? Okay, well, we know where BP is going. The mechanics are drafting, variable player powers, and worker placement.
Oh, there's your worker placement, Kiwi.
Yeah.
The box art, is this like a Disney or Pixar style? I feel like the like sharp angled faces remind me of something.
Yeah.
They definitely have the sharp angles of like some of the more recent-ish Disney. I was thinking specifically Brave, I think has this kind of art style.
Yeah, so the box art is like a large church type structure being built. Got a like red fiery sky in the background, and then you kind of have this three images of like a king, maybe like a noble woman, and some sort of like military type.
Yeah, they all have like very gaunt faces, or at least the king does. This is not a game.
So, would you pull this off a shelf?
I've been excited to play this one for a while because, like I said, we do have we haven't played the others in the North Sea series, but that we have Raiders downstairs, and it's one of the few like worker placement kind of like bigger games that Paxton really enjoys. So we have a couple of expansions for that. So I have been looking forward to this one because I have heard good things. So yes, I would pick it up off the shelf.
I would too. It says Architects and it's got a medieval church on it. I'm down.
I would. It's worker placement, which we played a lot of, but it sounds like there's going to be a more competitive nature to it with that whole rival architects and virtuous versus a company of thieves. So I'm hoping it'll be a little bit more of a maybe a more aggressive style worker placement than we've played before. All right. How do we think it's played, BP?
Let's see. So we've got drafting, variable player powers, and worker placement. So we need to collect raw materials, hire. So our workers are going to give us the ability. So we're going to have different areas where we either get our materials, we get apprentices,
Here's my first question. Are we building the same structure, or each one of us has our own like church? Are we all working on the same church?
It says various landmarks.
Okay. So we're each going to build a landmark of our own?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we're competing over the resources and maybe apprentices.
Yeah. And maybe the apprentices come with different skills since the variable player powers.
Yep. Sure.
So you'll have like one that's more, you know, mason, one that's maybe more like a glass blower.
That's exciting.
You know, those types of
things. And then I assume that we could go to the scoundrels and, you know, steal from other players with our thieves.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or like on the black market. Yeah, you're going to get like, you know, hey, we have this great new stone and it's actually clay or something, you know.
Or we could pick up like a black market glass blower. You know, they're not, you know, not licensed by the Glass Blowing Society.
The guilds. That's the technical term. Yes.
Glass Blowing Society is a great name, but I'm going to be using it for something.
Okay. And then drafting, I'm supposing, is like to replenish maybe the materials and things.
Yeah, that's interesting because usually in a worker placement, we don't have too many card things. Unless, yeah, it could be like maybe you're...
In the wine viticulture, right? Viticulture?
Mm-hmm.
That one's got drafting and cards in it.
It does have some cards that like just are like special powers.
You don't really draft, though. You're drawing. But it does have card play, but not drafting.
Right. I think we got a good gist of it. Sounded like pretty much every other worker placement we've played. So let's see.
All right. For the next 45 minutes, we're going to get a lecture.
I'll keep it short. Okay. So first of all, I did want to go like architecture, and then I did look at the show notes real fast just to see that it's, and once I saw the word Carolingian, I was like, this is perfect because that's also the topic we're talking about this week, along with my whole arguments that I make that the Dark Ages weren't really dark. And there really is this pivotal point that comes about 800 with Charlemagne. And part of that will be this combining, and this is how it works into architecture, of Roman elements, Germanic elements, and then Christian elements. And so one of the big things that Charlemagne does when he establishes his dynasty, which really doesn't live past him very much, hence this date is pretty interesting because I believe it's 854 is the Treaty of Verdun that breaks up the empire that he spent so much time building. But he had built the Palatine complex in Aachen, and it featured some of these new architectural elements that really brought together some of the, you could almost call them pre-Romanesque arches. So rebuilding on the basilicas from the, you know, Roman imperial period, the engineering of the arches, but adding these new elements that would come with medieval period of these domes in the middle of the buildings. And you'll see this continue in Byzantine examples. Like the Hagia Sophia that was built in the 6th century. So maybe some borrowing of those types of techniques, these big domes in the center of the buildings. And in the Palatine Chapel, you actually have his throne that is pretty famous. And the throne, while not as elaborate as the throne in the Game of Thrones, right, with all the swords, it is like in the middle of this audience hall, and is, it kind of reminds me of that, right? Because that one was like in the middle with like people could be behind and around and in this huge hall. And so he was really trying to make this new thing in the western part of Europe. And so, again, it would be kind of this precursor to Romanesque architecture that would be combining Roman elements, but building for height, using new domes and these arched window elements that eventually would come to the high Gothic and flying buttresses. But that was much later. During this period, we're talking about pretty solid structures.
But then the other thing I thought of is every time somebody has said Carolingian, I've always thought of the Merovingian, the bad guy from the, I think, the second Matrix movie.
Well, you know, Merovingians were the dynasty before the Carolingians.
What?
Yeah. In fact, the Carolingians overthrew the Merovingians.
Well, you guys want to know how to play?
Yeah, I want to play, actually.
Okay. All right. So the aim is to be the player with the most victory points at the end of the game.
Okay.
That makes sense. Come as a shock to both of you. Mm-hmm. Players gain points from various buildings, advancing the cathedral and virtue earned or lost during the course of construction. The game ends with a set number of constructions based on the player count. So for our three-player game, it's 16 total constructions.
Oh, my gosh. That's a lot.
And that is between each of our own personal buildings and the cathedral itself. The first player is randomly selected.
Womp womp.
So perhaps the last to build a house.
Last person to build a church.
Last to visit a cathedral. Last to build anything. Last to build a church. I did finish a Lego set last week.
That's
something built. And yeah. I built houses in Minecraft.
I didn't know where that was going. I was about to say, wow.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. No, Minecraft.
Fine. You can go.
All right. I'll go first. So players will take turns placing a worker from their player board onto the main board and conducting the associated action or actions until the game end is triggered. There are three different types of locations to place at. Some will have large open circles and they have no restrictions on the number of workers you could place there. You will gain bonuses the more workers you have there. Mm. Small open circles, which are only at the black market, only accept a single worker. And at the guild hall, there is an outline of worker. And when you place there, they're laid on their side and they will never be removed. They'll stay there for the rest of the game. Now, unlike other worker placements where we only have like six or seven workers, we have 20 workers in this game.
Woo. Well, I mean, we're building.
Yes. So different locations that you can go to, you can place at the quarry or the forest, and you'll get a stone or wood per worker that you place there. So if you place your first one there, you'll get one of those items. When you place your second worker there, you'll get two items, the third worker, three items, and so on. The mines, where you can get clay and you get one plus the number of workers you have there, or gold, where you get one for every two workers. The silversmith, you'll get one silver plus one per worker. The king's storehouse, where you'll get an action per worker placed there. And those actions, you can trade two stone, wood, or clay for a virtue. Or you can trade three stone or wood for marble.
Ooh.
The workshop is another place where you can hire an apprentice or get building plans. So for four silver, the number of workers that you have placed there will dictate which column you get to hire from, but you can also skip columns by putting a silver on the leftmost, basically, apprentice, and then you can go further up and get higher up
and they apprentices. Have skills, I'm
assuming. And they have skills, and you'll also need them in order to build buildings.
Right. And you'll probably need building plans to build buildings.
Yes. That's another thing you can get at the workshop. You can get building cards, which provide you plans. So you can get one for every two workers, and your hand limit is six. There's also the town center, where you can recruit the local townspeople to kidnap workers.
What?
And you're not really kidnapping them. You're rounding them up and sending them to prison. All right. So for each...
What?
For each of a player's workers, they may pay one silver to capture a group of workers from a location. So
this is awful.
For our game, we can pick up to two locations. If we were playing a four or more player game, you could only take from one location.
I mean, I've heard of forced labor before, but...
Yeah. And then what's going to happen is you're going to take those workers and you're going to put them on your player mat. If they're your own color, they go back into your pool of workers. If they're somebody else's workers, you're going to put them on your player mat, and then in a later turn, you can send them to prison, where you'll get one silver per worker, because the local constabulary is so appreciative of you helping out that they pay you for them. And so that's another way to get silver. You can go to the tax stand. You're going to lose two virtue when you go there, but you're going to get all the silver that's on the tax stand. Oh. So a lot of the things
are
in the game.
Are you robbing the tax stand?
Yes. So a lot of the things that we pay silver for in the game, some of those silver will go to taxes. Uh-huh. So they're going to go to the tax stand. The rest will go into a pool.
Okay.
So you can go and
so
you can
not
take
over the tax collector.
You can take the taxes. All right. There's also the black market, where you can pay in silver and virtue to gain certain bonuses in terms of resources, an apprentice, or a building card. And the black market will reset when all three locations have become occupied, or when the leftmost spot of the bottom two rows of the guild hall are covered. In which case, all the workers currently in the black market will go to prison. The prison-based actions for apprentices are performed, and players will lose virtue if they have three or more workers in prison. And the player with the most workers in prison will get a debt card.
Oh.
So it's a debtor's prison. Finally, there's the guardhouse, where you can get an action per worker, which lets you send all captured workers to prison for a silver per worker. You can release all your own workers from prison and put them on your player board, or you can pay 5 silver or take a debt and lose 1 virtue to release all your workers from another player's board so that they don't get money when they turn them into prison. Or you can pay 6 silver to pay off a debt. The guild hall to either build a building or advance the cathedral. So each of the buildings will have skill icons, and you have to have apprentices that match those skill icons. And then they will have a list of resources that you have to pay in order to construct the building. Some buildings will increase or decrease your virtue when you build them. And some will provide immediate or gain end bonuses as well. And then to advance the cathedral, there must be an open space in the row above your current player marker. You pay the cost for the next row, and then you move up your player marker. And then there are, I don't want to call them prizes. There are rewards for building onto the cathedral.
Of course, like hopefully virtue, because I feel like that's a virtuous act.
Some of them, yes. And then some of them will also give you resources and stuff. So when the last position on the guild hall is filled, each player will get a final turn. Even with all the spaces filled, the guild hall will still be a viable option on that last turn for everybody. And then once players have taken their final turn, the game ends and scoring is done. Players will get points for the buildings they've constructed, the level of work they've done advancing the cathedral, each gold and marble on their player board, for each set of 10 silver on their player board, and if their virtue is high enough, they will also get victory points from that. You will lose points for each unpaid debt, for every 2 workers you have in prison, and if you're low enough on the virtue track, you'll pay less silver, but you will lose points at the end for being low on the virtue track. The player with the highest score is the winner. Tiebreaker goes to the first player with the highest virtue, then to the most silver, and then it's shared.
So you don't want to be a scoundrel.
Not at the end of the game, you don't, correct. But you could be a scoundrel.
Until the end. And then and then basically you pay off the priest and confess all your sins and you get your virtue.
Yeah, because if you're low enough on the virtue track, you can't build on the cathedral. And if you're high enough on the virtual track, you can't go to the black market.
Well, let's build.
We just finished a game of Architects of the West Kingdom. To recap, BP had 28 church points. Kiwi had 28 church points. Kiwi won the tiebreaker for second place. And I won with 35 church points.
You could just add on virtue. He was more virtuous than I.
He won on virtue.
A second place on virtue. I didn't win. Yeah, what was
my strategy? Was to build things, which I built the most, and give virtue points. So I did a lot of church work. And then I had a tavern.
No. Come on. Taverns in the medieval period were fine. That's where everybody just went. You don't want to drink the water.
I also had a well. So I kind of covered all the bases for beverages.
It's true.
Point of order. I actually had 30 points. So I'm solidly in second place. I forgot about my mason's hut, which gave me 2 victory points for each mason apprentice, which I had 2 of. So solidly.
I don't
need to put this tiebreaker quantification on BP's last place.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody else strategy?
Sort of. I got the palace and I really wanted to build the palace. But there was a couple of so like the mason's hut was the first thing I built. And then that gave me the stuff I needed in order to build the smithy. Or the other way around. I built the smithy so I could get the stuff to build the mason's hut. So I did a little bit of engine building in that regard. But then after that, it was just kind of like collect supplies. And then I saw how much Eric was getting from the cathedral. So then I started building up to get to the cathedral. BP was just getting money.
I think BP's strategy was she built the treasury and then robbed people from it and then put them in the dungeon.
Yes. Oh, I loved when I got the dungeon card. I wanted to build that for sure. But I mean, I wanted apprentices and especially the laborer. So then I could build anything. Yep. I think I was the first one to actually go to the cathedral, but I was also like one of the first ones to knock over the tack stand.
Not as quickly as expected.
Not surprising to any of us.
I like the thing that because you built the treasury and then you robbed the tax stand a lot. So I feel like you weren't really like it wasn't a bank robbery. It was more just like you were like embezzling out of your treasury.
Yeah, I was about to say embezzlement is she's more of a white collar criminal.
So I guess this kind of leads into the theme. What do you think of the theme?
I feel like I sent the most people to
You did the most capturing of people, black marketing and robbing, which is, again, entirely not surprising.
I mean, it's a worker placement game. How much theme goes into it? But I did feel like now that we're recounting like how we did everything, like, yeah, it did feel like a little bit of a scoundrel. So in that aspect, I feel like, I mean, it's just. Yeah, it's like most worker placement, like you're putting things to collect stuff. So in that where you're just kind of slapping on the theme, but at the same point, like once we recap everything and Eric won because he worked on the cathedral and it was very virtuous, like, I don't know, like it kind of tries to play into a theme.
I think if you tell a story with it, like we did when we were like kind of going back and talking about our strategies and, you know, at least for Eric and I, and I felt like you did too. Like you built stuff because it's just like, I want to build this.
Oh, I want a dungeon. Yeah. I also had the university and I really wanted that too.
Yeah. And there were cards that Eric like either discarded or wanted that he was like, I really wanted to build that or like the lighthouse and stuff. So I think thematically it's like in a Euro game, right? You probably could have smashed any theme on top of it. So the theme's like not super strong, but I think what ties the theme in is the art, I feel like, ties it in really well. And then kind of, you know, what they've named things. Like the cathedral probably could have been anything. But, you know, the fact that you're building a cathedral in medieval times just feels like that's what you would be doing.
Oh, yeah. Like the whole town would be contributing for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that it's any stronger or weaker than any other worker placement. But like you said, with the art and then and the name, I mean, it's also like medieval town building. Not exactly a fresh thing, but, you know, it's still fun. It's always fun to build a tavern. I think we kind of like it. If you're really not into medieval or you're just sick of it, you know, it might be a turnoff, but, you know, I don't know how many times I can build a tavern. It's not going to get old. table presence, BP.
It's fantastic. Like once Kiwi was talking about it with the art on the cards, I mean, for sure. And it reminds me a lot of course, all the other games, and I'm most familiar with Northern Raiders, Raiders of the Raiders North Sea. Where I think the cards are very similar. They have the name on the left and their icons, and then the caricature on the center in that angular style. We were a little... We needed a lot of explanation, I feel like, at the beginning about some of the iconography, but in general, it's cool. I think we all enjoyed like picking apart our characters and seeing what they looked like, and the buildings are interesting. And yeah, I mean, the cards are all interesting. So for a worker placement, I feel like most of them are really pretty to look at. So it has that going for it, but it also- I don't know
about most of them.
But then, you know, it does have a level of complexity that is not as straightforward sometimes. But once you get what they're trying to say, it's fine.
Yeah, I love the art in this game.
It's that same style, though.
It's the same style as Raiders of the North Sea, which I love the art in that, too. Just like the board, like there is like a ton of, you know, what would if you took all the art off, it would be a ton of white space on the board.
Not a bad thing.
Yeah. But like the way they've kind of like put everything on the board, it really does feel like some sort of like everything seems like it's in the right spot. Like the art kind of just draws it all in together. So I think it looks cool. And I think like as you laid out your apprentices and as you laid out your buildings, I think, you know, it looks nice. It's nice to look at. So like, Eric, you discarded that lighthouse and you were just like, look at this lighthouse.
And the fountain. Yeah, I was getting very excited over the art on the cards. So, I mean, it's just really good. It's really pretty. The board is pretty. I think it jumps out like the greenery on it. I think if you're like in terms of table presence, like that would jump out compared to some other ones. Even like other medieval worker placement type games, like some of them feel too busy or it's just crammed in. You can't really like. This like with the white space, they could just sort of like, it lets it breathe. It looks really good. Mechanics, Kiwi?
I mean, we've played a lot of worker placement games. And I think one of the things with worker placement games is generally, you know, once somebody has gone to a spot, that spot is gone. Mm. And then the other part to a worker placement game is you're limited on the number of workers that you have. So you're limited on what you can do in each round. So I thought it was very interesting in this one where it was, you got more stuff with the worker, with the more workers that you placed in a location. But then it also, because there were a couple of times where it's like, I don't think anybody had more than five workers on one spot before two things happened. Either that person went and grabbed their people back or somebody captured your people. So like, you know, you couldn't necessarily get a ton of people on a single worker. So I think that was like a nice change to, you know, what you can do in terms of worker placement game, which Raiders of the North Sea also does something similar where you only have one worker. And when you place it, so Raiders of the North Sea had kind of a two parts of the round. You place the worker that you had, and then you pick up another worker. So you got to do two locations. And that worker that you picked up was your first worker for the next one. So it kind of does something different with worker placement as well. So, I mean, that was the big mechanic in this game. And I thought it was different with, you know, here are your 20 workers. And you're just like, my what? Mm-hmm. I have so much worker.
I like it because it's not the whole admin of recollecting your workers every round, which I find is a bit tedious, especially if you have a lot of worker game. So I like that too.
It was different for sure. And it was fun. I mean, yeah, like for the workers, like, again, I was the one who captured, like, I, like towards the end, I was starting to see like, oh, how can I thwart? So it adds, it does, because it went a lot faster. I feel like, you know, going into after the rules and player interaction, it did add a level of interaction. Cause I was paying attention, like, you know, where are you guys putting all your workers and why? And then I could collect them all if I wanted to, along with my own. And so,
yeah, like at one point I saw like Kiwi was low on money. So I took his silversmith people away so he couldn't get as much money back. So I was trying to like, you know, constrict you a bit that way. The only mechanic that I don't know that there was a lot of incentive to do the black market stuff. Maybe I just didn't see it yet, but it seemed like to win, you're going to need to have some piety stuff because you want to build on the church and you want to do all this other stuff. Like, I don't know that there'd be a way to, I guess you're supposed to drop down a bit to get some quick resources and then go back up. But it seemed like kind of a risky play to do too much of the unpious stuff.
Yeah, and we only saw about half the buildings and half the apprentices. So it might be that there might be apprentices or buildings that build off of being not virtuous. So potentially that could be a strategy. Maybe
I bet there's like ways to win being unvirtuous. But as a first playthrough, the most clear way to win is build on the church and get high piety to get all those points. And you don't know what's going to play off each other. So maybe more playthroughs, you'd see more options there, but rules, learning the game, BP.
It definitely took like not just the explanation of the rules, but then like once we were looking at the board, another kind of explanation. So we had that visual element when we went to each location, how we were going to do something. And then I think Kiwi got a little frustrated with us about capturing people and our questions about that. So I don't think it's like as cut and dry as other games. And again, the iconography was a little bit challenging at the beginning as well. So it's definitely one where you need to have somebody in the game who is like we have Kiwi, right? A good understanding the rules and explaining them and is patient with people. I feel like, you know, for the first go round.
I mean, I think in terms of the general game, quick and easy to pick up. You're collecting resources, you're building.
The right
specifics in the iconography and some of the stuff like the debt collect, the debt and all that kind of stuff. There was a lot in that regard.
Yeah, some of it is that there was an appendix that I didn't have. Mm-hmm. I just had the rule book. And so there was a separate appendix page that gave you more information. Once I got through it, you know, because all the stuff is explained in the rules. And then on the board, I had the iconography. So I was able to figure out, based on what the rules said, I could figure out like, okay, this is what this icon is for. And then after that, like, I thought it was all right. The rule book itself, like, I wish the appendix was just part of the rule book. That would be nice. But like, that's not a, it's not the worst thing. The rule book is laid out well. There's good examples. Yeah, I think the only time we went into the rule book was when something new popped up and it was just like, hey, this is how this card works type of deal.
Player interaction. I mean, it's a worker placement. It's a Euro. I would say there was a bit more with the whole capturing of people aspect. I did have to watch you and make sure you're not like over going on a certain, like, and also knowing, because like there was a point where I was like, I'm just going to grab a lot of stone, knowing that those people are going to get captured because I didn't need them. So I think there's a bit more interaction there in terms of paying attention to what people are doing. But I would say it's more than your average worker placement, I think.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, some of that worker placement stuff, it's usually because somebody's gone to that location mm-hmm. where you really don't have this in here. It's more the, it's almost like a take that element instead mm-hmm. with the, you know, taking somebody's workers. And then, you know, BP had a thing which was like, well, if I wait for Eric to put the stuff in the prison, then I can go and I could get more actions. So I was like, yeah, but you have to wait for Eric to do that.
And I was never going to.
And you had, yeah, yeah. And I knew that was going to happen. I mean, you had three of my workers that you just never put into prison. You just kept them.
I had a solid sized basement with a lot of kidnapped people down there. Yeah, I was, again, part of my strategy was trying to make sure you guys, trying to limit your money. So that was, it cost you more to get them out of there. Would you play it again? I'll go first for once because I normally don't. I think I would. I think as a worker placement, this might be my favorite one that I've played so far. They're not my favorites. I'm trying to, I probably need a list because I'm sure I'm forgetting some. It's prettier than the older ones that I've played. Maybe not Caverna, but that's, I feel like as a lighter worker placement, this is my favorite. As a heavier worker placement, it'd probably be Caverna. But, you know, of the lighter ones we've played, like, I think this one was prettier. It kind of reminded me of Everdell, which is also mm-hmm. very pretty. Mm-hmm. But I like the gameplay in this one more. BP, would you play it again? We know Kiwi's answer.
I would. I would. It's medieval. It's architecture. It's pretty to look at. And I want to go all the way down that black market tracker at some point and just see what it's like.
Well, if you go negative, every time you go negative, you get a debt.
Kiwi?
So obviously my answer is yes.
Is it on its way?
It's a worker placement. No, it's not. it's a worker placement, which I really enjoy. I really enjoy the art. It's super nice to look at. I want to play the others in the trilogy as well. Because I've heard via podcasts and other places that Paladins is actually the best of the three.
Oh.
So that's the second one. So I don't know how it's different or how, like, what the mechanics are in Paladins of the West Kingdom, but I would definitely like to try it. Hmm. But I also haven't tried, like, I really enjoy Raiders of the North Sea.
Mm-hmm. This is going to be my next question for you. This or Raiders of the North Sea?
So they're different. Mm-hmm. Raiders of the North Sea. So like I described with the, like, how you play out your turn, you only get two choices. Your choices are like certain locations you can go to with certain colored meeples. There's like black, gray, and white meeples. And this one, like, you can go anywhere you want to, and the worker placement style is different.
Which do you prefer?
I think my personal opinion is he's going to probably go Raiders in the North Sea because he can play it with Paxton.
I think if I didn't have either one and I hadn't played either with Paxton, I would pick this over Raiders of the North Sea. Yeah, this isn't to the point where I would add it because I have Raiders. Right. And I don't think I would replace it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, if I didn't have either one, I would go with Architects.
I'd be curious to know like how the different Architects games are versus how mm-hmm. the different North Sea games are.
Yeah, and now I want to look at it. North yeah, yeah, because like I don't know how different the like I think Explorers of the North Sea is the second mm-hmm. one. Like how is that different from Raiders? And then like how is Paladins and Viscounts different from each mm-hmm. other? And how are they different from Architects? That might be something I look at later.
All right. Well, that is Architects of the West Kingdom.
So if you have any recommendations of games you would like to hear our impressions on, please send them our way. You can do it via email at firstturntabletop@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at firstturncast and the architecture podcasty camel. There's like this background noise going on. Thank you. Okay. And he says, please don't forget to review and subscribe on your favorite podcatchers. We look forward to hearing from you. Play more games.
So the apprentice, the...
So I am so good and slimy.
Yes.
I have figured out how not to pay taxes.
I have built a well because, you know, I care about the community and the quality of our water. I'm going to go ahead and build my cavern.
It's a good thing you have a well.
That's why I built the well. It was really selfish. I was pretending it was for the town, but...